today is a special day, as hopefully you've picked up on already. We've moved the pulpit to the side, not to diminish the preaching of the Word of God, but because the focus today is on baptism and church membership, as we have Dan Sells, who's going to be giving her testimony, and following the Lord and believers baptism, and then we have Emily Klein, who will be giving her testimony as well, and we're looking forward to welcoming them to membership. And just, this is a great day to rejoice in what God has done. It's kind of akin, I think, to rejoicing at the birth of babies. I was talking to my wife last night. We were at a church one time that they just squeezed in baptism at the end of the service, and it was like, oh, how could you? I mean, it felt like, you know, they were like, oh yeah, and so-and-so had a baby, and moved on. You know, it's like, this is when you're publicly telling everybody that you have trusted in Jesus Christ and what God has done in your life. And we should make much of these days, because this is supernatural work in our lives. When we are seeing, I mean, it's not when it took place, but this is when we're publicly seeing the evidence that someone is willing to identify with Christ and follow Him in believer's baptism, and to publicly tell others of what God has done. Right? This is not what we have done as a church. This is what God has done. And we just get to be along for the ride and rejoice in that. So we're going to take time, the service for that. I'm going to answer some questions about baptism and membership. And we need those times as well, because this too easily can become rote. It can become traditionalism, something we just do and not really understand why we're doing it. And we need to rethink those things. It's been a year, and thankfully it's only been a year, right? We were at this place before, but we need to be constantly reminded of what God instructs us in His Word and how to live in all areas of life. And we want to do that here today. So we're going to take a few moments just to quiet our hearts, pray and worship our Savior, and then we're going to praise God together. Our chance to praise God, great hymnal number 2, Come Praise and Glorify Our God. And we want to do that here today. So let's stand as we sing, Come Praise and Glorify.
Come praise and glorify our God, the Father of our Lord. In Christ He has in heavenly realms His blessings on us poured. For pure and blameless in His sight He destined us to be. And now we've been adopted to His Son eternally. To the praise of Your glory, to the praise of Your mercy and grace, to the praise of Your glory, You are the God who saves. Come praise and glorify our God, who gives His grace in Christ. In Him our sins are washed away, redeemed through sacrifice. The gift God has made known to us, the mystery of His will, that Christ should be the head of all His purpose to fulfill. To the praise of Your glory, to the praise of Your mercy and grace, to the praise of Your glory, You are the God who saves. Come praise and glorify our God, for we believe the Word, and through our faith we have a seal, the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit guarantees our hope until redemption's done, until we join in endless praise to God the Three in One. To the praise of Your glory, to the praise of Your mercy and grace, to the praise of Your glory, You are the God who saves.
So we want to take just a few minutes and for prayer and remind our offerings back inside, and that's intended for us as members and regular tenders. And if you're with us today as our visitor, you're a guest, we don't ask you to participate. You may if you like. Father, we do just praise and glorify you as what you have done in our lives and what you continue to do. Pray that you would just be glorified here today as we seek to give you the credit for what has taken place. And Lord, we thankful so much for what you've done through your Son, Jesus Christ. We don't deserve all the blessings that are ours, the happiness that comes from him. Lord, you have redeemed, you have adopted, you have made us your children when we were once your enemies. Help us to love, serve, and obey you with our lives and to give you all the glory and praise that you are due. Lord, we just commit this service now to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our memory verse for the month. I know we haven't a lot of time to work on it, but it's a fairly easy one, so hopefully we are able to say this here from memory together as our way versus God's way and where that leads. So let's say it together. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. All right. And we'll have another one for you next week. Please take the red hymnal to number 320, 320, Come Holy Spirit, Dove Divine. God works through our lives, and what one of the things that baptism is showing is how the Holy Spirit has come into us. You know, when we trust in Christ, we are spirit baptized. But when we're water baptized, it's testimony of what has already taken place. And we want to sing this together. Come Holy Spirit, Dove Divine.
Come, Holy Spirit of divine, on these baptismal waters shine. Ye teach our hearts and eyes strain to praise the Lamb for sinners slain. We love thy name, we love thy laws, and joyfully embrace thy cause. We love thy cross, the shame, the pain, O Lamb of God, for sinners slain. We sing beneath the water's face, and thank thee for thy saving grace. We die to sin and seek a grave with thee beneath the yielding wave. And as we rise with thee to live, oh, let the Holy Spirit give the sealing unction from above, the joy of life, the fire of love.
Here we sing songs like this to talk about baptism. And often, maybe we have questions about baptism. And even if not, I want to make clear what we are doing here today. Baptism is one of those things that seems kind of a funny tradition in the church. Like, why do we, get around better, get together and dunk someone underwater publicly, right? I mean, actually, stopping the mechanics, it doesn't make sense until you look at what God has to say to us. And we want to make sure that what we're doing is not just empty traditionalism, something we've always done. That's why we always keep doing it. But we understand why we're doing what we're doing. And I want to seek to answer some questions, three questions about baptism here today. First off, what is baptism? Baptism is the immersion. And by immersion, we mean the plunging under, or or dipping under, because that's really what the word means itself, as one reason. I mean, church history for hundreds of years practiced immersion, but ultimately it matches the picture of death, burial, resurrection, and new life. Romans chapter 6 says this: "What shall we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How then shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" So he's talking about, you know, why not keep on sinning because God's grace is so great. And what does he point to? "Do you not know that as many as us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death?" Now, if you take out, baptism, the word, and you put immersion, which I think a better translation there, we're immersed with him. We're immersed into his death. "Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism," or immersion into death, "that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." So what is he saying? It's when you trusted in Christ, it's that you died with Christ. You went into the grave. Your sin, he took your sin on himself. He died to sin, paying the death penalty, and it was buried. That's what you do with dead things, right? You bury them. But the amazing part was he didn't stay buried because he rose to new life. And what do you do with living things? You don't keep them in the ground. You get them out of the ground. And he rose to walk in newness of life, a new life. You look at the new Jesus, he has his glorified body. And sinless, he was sinless before, but his body can go to heaven. And it says actually that when we're raised with him, we will have a new body like him. That's 1 John chapter 3. So the picture is dying, being buried, and then being brought out. Now, if you use other things like sprinkling or pouring, that doesn't really show that. It's only when you go underwater that it's as if you're being buried and being brought back to new life. And so this is one of the reasons, big reasons, that we say baptism is immersion. But it is immersion of who? It is of a believer in Jesus, someone who is following him in water. All right, we see this from Jesus' own example, how he went to John to be baptized. Now, if baptism washes away sin, that wouldn't make sense because Jesus doesn't have sin, right? But if it's a public testimony, then it does make sense. And he tells John, when John says, "No, I'm unworthy. I need you to baptize me." What does he say? "No, this needs to be done for example." Right? So he talks about that. Now, it is something that we are called to do, and as far as the amount of water, he even talks about going down into the water, coming up. There's much water there. But it is something for believers that we should do. Right? This can't be spirit baptism because that's something that happens to us the moment we trust in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "By one Spirit you're all baptized into one body." Every believer, the moment you trust in Christ, you're immediately spirit baptized. Right? But Matthew chapter 28 tells us that we're to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Right? So this is something we are commanded to do, this dependent command to the Great Commission. So it must be something we can do. Now, I'm thankful for passages like 1 Peter chapter 3, which tell us that baptism is not the washing away of the filth of the flesh. Right? You're not just cleansing. And here he's talking about how Noah went into the ark and was rescued were saved through water, right? All the people back in his day. And he says, there is also an antitype which now says, so it's kind of that was a physical illustration, here's a spiritual illustration, of which now saves us baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but what? Answer of a good conscience toward God. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. So there he tells us it is the answer of a good conscience toward God. How can baptism be the answer of a good conscience towards God? Well, if it's a command that we do, or we're supposed to obey, and we don't obey it, what happens when you don't obey what God commands us to do? James chapter 4, verse 17 says, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, it's what? It's sin, right? So once we understand that we should be baptized and we don't, we resist that, you actually now are living in sin, according to Scripture. But if you obey God in an area, what happens to your conscience? Your conscience is now clean. That's how baptism saves you in a sense, right? It makes you right with God. It doesn't save you as far as, you know, you're washing away sin, because what's the only thing that can save us that way? Jesus, right? Trust in him. But, you know, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Or as Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing and regeneration of the word. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. That's what saves us that way. But to have a clear conscience with God, we need to keep walking in obedience to him. And that's why the Great Commission goes from, you know, just go and make disciples, right? This first step is trusting him, going, telling people about Jesus, and then what's the next step? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We call it the next step of obedience. And then the rest of your life is teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, with the encouragement that the Spirit is with you, right? So it's an important second step in our Christian lives. As we see play out in the book of Acts, right? The pattern there is what? You're saved, and then what? Baptized, and join the church, right? You see that in Acts chapter 2, or the Ethiopian eunuch. He gets saved, and he says, what hinders me from baptism? And Peter, or Philip's like, nothing. There's lots of water here. Let's go baptize you. And again and again throughout the book of Acts, saved, baptized. Not baptized, saved. Saved, baptized, join the church. And I think is a pattern for us to follow as Christians. So what does baptism picture? It portrays vividly how when we trust in Jesus' death and resurrection for our sins, that's the gospel, right? That he died for our sins and rose the third day, according to Scriptures. That if we believe that, then we die with Christ in our sins and are given new life to live for him in righteousness. That's what the Romans 6 passage is making clear. So this is portraying that. This shows how we die this. So it's a chance for us to show the world. That's why we encourage, I mean, in our day, in our country, at least still, you know, we have the freedom to invite people to tell the world this. You know, in some countries, this becomes the defining moment. Our former Muslims who come to Christ, where they really experience persecution is when they get baptized. Because that's the public break with your past. You say, I'm not going to do that anymore. This is who I'm identifying with. I'm identifying with Christ and his followers. And we need to be willing to take that stand, to publicly identify with him, showing the world what he has done in our lives. So why do we get baptized? We don't get to baptize to save us from our sins, as I've already explained, or contribute to our salvation from sin in any way. But we do it because he commanded it, Matthew 28:19. And if you don't, then you're walking in sin, because you're once you understand a command of Christ and you don't do it, that's wrong. And so to cleanse your conscience, you follow him in obedience. Otherwise, like we warn with the Lord's table, right? If you do the things the wrong way, you're not doing what Christ calls us to do, there's serious consequences because of that. And we need to be willing to submit ourselves to God and his word and follow him in all areas, baptism just being one of those. Otherwise, as Tim warned at his dad's funeral, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Right? We need to humble ourselves, submit to God and his plan. And then, you know, there's blessing that comes when doing things God's way. So, obey Christ. to declare publicly our faith in Christ, showing others what has happened inside of us. And that's a great time to testify what God has done and encourage people to invite your friends, invite your family, tell people what you have done in your life. And that's why we have people when they give their public testimony of how God changed their lives. And then third, join the local church. Why? Because Spirit baptism automatically places you into the universal church. And I think, you know, in light of that, as well as Matthew 28:19, it should place, you know, water baptism, paralleling that, should place you within the local church where you can use your gifts, which is the context of 1 Corinthians 12, right? Using your gifts to serve God. And I'll talk more about that later in the service as we talk more about membership. But just some questions to think through here. Do you understand that baptism doesn't save you, but only faith in Christ will? If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, that's what I want you to understand. To know for sure, or to recognize you, nothing you can do can save you. It is only through God and His Word and the work of the Spirit. Secondly, have you trusted in Christ alone to rescue you from your sin and its consequences? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Your sin is killing you. And if you don't do anything about it, you will end up forever dead. What the Bible calls the lake of fire, or hell. And I would urge you to turn from that before it is too late, as Scripture calls. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Turn to Him in faith in the one who, only one who can save you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And there's no other way. So I want to tell you about the way. Turn to Him and trust in Him. Thirdly, if you've done that, then have you, if you've trusted in Christ, then have you taken the next step of obedience in being publicly baptized? Where you are immersed to tell everyone that you died to sin and you're raised to new life and you want to live for Him. Because that's the next. You want God's blessing in your life? You want happiness? You want peace? We need to submit to God and His plan and His way. And a great chance to tell people what God has done in your life. And then lastly, if you've been baptized, which this then is a chance for us to be reminded of what God did in our life. Think back to your own baptism. Think back to your own salvation. What God did in rescuing you as a dirty, rotten sinner and transform you. You were born again, given new life. And I'm so thankful. I mean, recently I was talking to my father-in-law about recounting some of your stories of what God did, taking you from here to here, and you are not the same person that you used to be. By God's grace, right? None of us are what we used to be. If God saved us, He has transformed us and changed us, and He is making us more and more like Himself each and every day. And this is a chance for us to be reminded and to give God the glory for what He has done. So, this is where we get to hear publicly of what God has done in Diane Sell's life. And I'm going to invite her up. Tim's going to come up with her and just to share what God has done in her life in rescuing her from sin.
My name is Diane, and I was born a sinner. My life began in Grundy, and I grew up in Rhinebeck. I forgot to add to the two wonderful parents. I had three siblings, all who were named after family members. I, however, was named after a 1950s movie star, who no one has ever heard of. I have a wonderful daughter, Lindsay, who is my best friend. I have the best son-in-law, Ryan, who is the answer to my prayer for Lindsay. They gave me two precious grandchildren, Grayson and Ellie, who have totally changed my life. I have always wanted grandchildren. A few years ago, Tim came back into my life. I was a little guarded at first, but God persuaded me. We married, and I got two more kids, Kevin and Kylie, who I love so much. God knew what He was doing. My love has grown over the years.
Thank you.
Here I am today, living with cancer. It is tough, but Jesus is here to give me comfort. I am thankful for our Father, my family and friends, and my wonderful husband who has started me on this path. And Judy. I believe in Jesus. I trust in Jesus. He died for me. How wonderful is that? Mm-hmm. No human has ever done anything like that for me. He suffered so. No human on this earth has the power to heal me and comfort me the way that Jesus does. He gives me hope. He gives me peace. Jesus' love is endless. I have accepted Jesus as my Savior, and I will follow him every day for the rest of my life. What a wonderful way to start my new life.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Diane. This is one of the things we're talking through this. This has really been probably the last year and a half, right? And as we saw her get diagnosed with cancer, there was just a change as she trusted in Christ, go from fear to faith. Mm-hmm. And we just rejoice what God is doing in your life.
Yep.
So, you know, I dismiss you guys to go change. And we're just, we're going to ask Dick Dunkelberger to come. He's going to lead you in singing, and we'll get the chance to see what God has done as we move forward here with baptism.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and
I have one question for you, Diane.
Okay.
Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus died for your sins and rose again?
Yes, I do.
Amen. Then, based on your word and the testimony of you, the church has heard here, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Walk now in newness of life. Amen. All right. Well, this is exciting as we testify to what God has done in somebody's life. So, the other part of this service is when we baptize someone, we're also inviting them to join the church. And so I want to answer some questions about church membership, what it is. It is the joining of other believers in a local assembly for the purposes of growth and service. We are not a club where you pay in your dues and you can expect certain privileges and rights. Instead, a church is an assembly where believers come together to obey Christ and to follow Him and serve Him. So why should we become a church member? Membership in a local church is, first, I think it's expected. You see that in the Acts pattern, as well as 1 Corinthians 12, where it says, after talking about how we're part of the universal church, then it goes on to say in the immediate discussion about how God gives gifts and one body, many members, and each member does its part, causing growth there, and that there shouldn't be division in the body. And how one member suffers, then all the members should you take care of it, right? If you hit your thumb, stub your toe, what happens? What does the rest of your body do? You react and you seek to care for, help that hurting member. And so it should be in our lives. This is why I come down to verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 12. Now you are of the body of Christ and members individually. What he means there is there's a general sense, you're part of the universal church, but there's a need to be members individually. how can you do that? If it's just this vague, you know, believers of from all believers from the rapture, from Pentecost to the rapture. To do that, you have to be involved in a local church. And so God has appointed, He has put us in the church to be used and to use our gifts and services for Him, our gifts and abilities. Jesus said, I will build my church, right? So it is God's work, and we're not seeking to build a kingdom here. We are seeking to follow Christ, and as He brings people, and it's amazing how God brings the right people at the right times. I just been reminded of that recently, and some of the new opportunities for service, and you know, others that God moves on in another stage of their life, and He brings others to fill their place. Again and again, this is the work of God. It is the local church. It's expected. It is where true believers come together in order to become like Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 is the other main passage which tells us how God gave the leadership, but the leadership don't do all the job, right? He gave apostles, prophets. Those are what we have here, right? Those are the foundation, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. And then He gave evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the building up of the church, the edifying or equipping of the church to, I'm sorry, for the, I better look at this. I'm going to mess it up here. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, right? It is, the leadership is to equip or to train the saints, that's all believers, so that we can do the work of ministry, which is the equipping, or I'm sorry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And he even goes on to explain, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of Christ. So the goal is that we would help each other to become fully like Christ. Why? What's the danger? That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Just like your children, if left to themselves, could easily be manipulated, right? They easily believe wrong things. And we see that every day, where children are taught wrong things. That's why they need good teachers. They need people that love them and care for them and want what's best for them, and that will teach them in the way of righteousness. As Proverbs tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Right? We need to start with that. You want true knowledge? You need to go to God and His Word. So we need God. We need to no longer, we wouldn't be carried about by every wind of doctrine. I see this all the time where people are on their own. They're lone ranger Christians, and they have all sorts of crazy beliefs. You know, someone said recently, you know, I love Jesus, but I'm done with religion. Right? Now, it depends on what they mean by religion. But if they're saying, I want to ditch the church, I want to ditch that, then no, that's not how it works. But instead, we should speak the truth in love. Grow up, it's speaking the truth in love, may grow up on all things into Him who is the head, Christ. That's the goal, that we help each other grow to be like Christ. And as we do, the whole, from whom the whole body, He's the head, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, we each have responsibility to do our job. I mean, many of you know what it's like when a body part stops functioning right. And you have to compensate for that. It's hard. You things you take for granted. And that happens in churches too, when body parts aren't functioning as they should, or we're missing parts. It's hard. Other parts can do it, but they're not doing it to the best of their ability. They haven't been gifted in the same way. And so we have responsibility to help each other. And as we do, joined and knit together by every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying itself in love. We are called to use our gifts as God has given for Him. The gifts are to edify others. It's not personal gifts. As 1 Corinthians 12 or 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11 or Romans 12, 1 through 8. And you can't really truly use your gifts unless you're part of a local church, using as God has intended. So what does Hebrews 10 tell us? We need to, it says, let us. This other passage telling us not, you know, we tend to think about this one in terms of, I need to go to church. But why do you go to church? Right? I mean, what's the purpose in coming together? Is it just to sit in a pew? No, he says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. How can you fulfill that command unless you're here and functioning, involved as God calls us to, stirring each other to love and good works? So we need to be willing to submit ourselves to one another, because there is accountability in a local church. You know, when you don't show up for a few weeks, you ever notice that? Somebody starts calling, hey, how are you doing? Or maybe pastor starts pestering you. You know, that's good. We need that accountability, and we need to be there for one another. And sometimes there's things going on in our lives that someone helps you to realize. You need more accountability, or we need to grow in this area, and we need each other. God didn't make Lone Ranger Christians. Right? That's not part of His plan. And too often the body is not functioning as it should. So we need to submit to one another. And notice, remember 1 Peter 5:5, what comes next after the call to submit? Older to younger and all that? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In pride, we can think, I can do this on my own. You know, that I can live this Christian life on my own. I don't need the church. But we do. We need each other desperately. And if the events of the last few years have taught us anything, and how much we need others to help us through, and you for them, and that you them for you in your life. So with that said, Emily Klein is going to come give her testimony, and she has been baptized already, and we're going to ask her just to share what God did in her life to bring her salvation.
Well, like Pastor said, my name is Emily, and I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home. I actually grew up in Cedar Falls, Iowa, and I grew up at Hagerman Baptist Church. My parents still attend there. So I grew up knowing who God was, and my parents had no problem telling me that I was a sinner. So I knew that, but it didn't become real for me until March 13th, 1995. It was actually spring break from school, and my parents decided to open our home to all the neighborhood kids and host a five-day club. And a lady named Arlene Shildroth came, and I do not remember exactly what she spoke about. I believe she's with Child Evangelism Fellowship. And I just knew it bothered me. So I remember getting up and going and talking with my mom. And she opened God's Word. It wasn't just her telling me. I remember her, even though I couldn't really read, I remember her showing me in the Bible from Romans what God said about how we were sinners and there was nothing that we could do to get ourselves to heaven. There was nothing that we could do that was good enough. But God demonstrated His love for us. And even though we were sinners, Christ died for us. She also explains that there's nothing that we could do that was good enough, just from Ephesians and also from Titus. And then the part that really nailed it in my brain was when she took John 3:16 and she put my name in it. And she said, for God so loved Emily. And when she did that, it kind of clicked. And so it's one of the first times I ever remember kneeling beside my bed. But my mom kind of talked me through how to pray and ask God to forgive me of my sins and admit that I was a sinner and admit that I needed a Savior. Now, after, I left and I got to go, call my dad and tell him all of that, we got to have cupcakes because my spiritual birthday is actually my physical birthday. So I got to easily remember that date. It was great. And I was not a child that was shy about telling people. I was actually a child where my parents had to talk to me and rein me in and say, you can't walk around telling people they're going to go to hell. So when the opportunity came and my pastor at the time, Bob Fields, was talking about baptism, I looked at my older sister and I said, you haven't been baptized? And she's like, no. It's like, okay, we're going to we're going to go tell our church and we're going to get baptized. So about a year and a half later, I was 6 or 7. I went forward. I drugged my sister with me, and I wanted to let our church know that I believed in Jesus. I believed in God. And so we went through the class, and our pastor explained how this was just identifying with Christ. It was nothing that saved us. It was just to show the church that we believed and that we wanted to be a part of the body of Christ, or the membership there. And so we did that. And then through just different experiences and different life situations, God brought me to Deiser, and I teach at the school there. Now that I live in the town, I'm just looking to be able to serve in a church and be able to serve in the community.
Thank you, Emily. Now we've heard Emily's testimony, we've heard Diane's testimony, and she's been baptized, and it is the recommendation of pastor and deacons that we would welcome them into our membership. So I'm calling for a meeting here, and then I would call for a motion based to accept that recommendation to welcome Diane Sells and Emily Klein into our membership. Scott Kern makes a motion. All right, seconded by Brian Keeman. You got that, Billy? All right. All in favor, say yes.
Yes.
All opposed? All right, just a second. You're in. All right. I do want to, Diane, if you would come up, and Tim, you can come up too. I have something for you here. It's a certificate of baptism telling us that you're baptized on this day. And just a reminder of what God has done in your life there. And if I could have Ken come on up and Barry, I'm going to ask you guys to... These are people that have had roles in their lives. If you guys all come on up on the platform here. Ken and Judy have spent a significant amount of time with Tim and Diane, and just God used them in their lives. So I asked them, or asked him to pray for Diane. And then Barry's had a role. You know, they went to church for a number of years up at Hagerman, and just in her coming here. So we just wanted to ask them to pray, because what we are doing here, we are participating in this, right? We are entering into, they're joining us, but we are also saying we're going to help them. They're one of, a part of our body, you know, the body of Christ here. And we want to encourage and help each other follow Christ together. So, all right.
Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for working in Diane's heart, and Tim's heart over the years. Father, thank you for the salvation that's so free, so available through your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your willingness and desire to go to the cross, for the joy that was set before you endured the cross, that we may have days like this, days where people come to the Lord and then follow you in obedience and baptism. What a blessing. We do pray, Father, for Diane. We think, too, of the health that she's been struggling with, and it's such a blessing to see your hand in that and see your peace for Tim, for Diane, through it all. We're thankful for that. Father, we pray now for them. Be with Diane and Tim as a couple, as we look to the future, that we might continue as a church to encourage them, to strengthen them, to help them in the bumps that are in front of them. But we're thankful, Lord, that there's no trial that we take that isn't common to man, but you are there. You would not have us to be tempted above what we're able, and you are there to walk with us and hold our hands through that. And I pray for that. Pray for Diane as a church, and Tim, that we would be encouraged to walk close to them, help them as they encourage us in their walk with you. And we thank you for this time now. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you've given us, Lord. Thank you that we can be in your house this morning. Give you the honor and the praise that you so much deserve. Lord, it's just fantastic that we can come to a baptism this morning, that Diane has followed in believer's baptism, showing us that she has accepted you, Lord, as Lord and Savior. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we think of their testimonies that it's just an awesome thing to listen to. That we remember back in the days that we gave our testimony, and Lord, it just a humbling experience that they have trusted you as Lord and Savior. And accepting them into church membership, Lord, I ask that each and every one of us stand beside them, help them as they need different things, and we're just there for them as a church family. And Lord, give us just a good day, a good fellowship with these folks today, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. If you guys want to make your way over here, just a final challenge for you guys. As we've thought through baptism and membership here today, if you're here today and you have not taken one of those steps, I would encourage you, talk to me. I'd love to help you take those next steps of obedience and following the Lord. As it is a blessed thing, as a happy thing, when we do what God calls us to do. So this concludes our service, and I would urge you to go welcome them into our membership, and we just rejoice at what God has done. We're going to do that by singing our final hymn, 66, "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done." Let's stand and sing, "To God Be the Glory."
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gates that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, who gives us the Son, and gives Him the glory, great things He has done.
The third is the last.
Great things He has taught us, great things He has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done.
And all God's people said, amen. I hope you've been encouraged and challenged here today. Feel free, or please make them welcome to our church. Thank you. You are dismissed.